the crux of what we do, or what the players do in this league, is you can have all the nuances and all the newfangled offense. It's like your best players in the biggest moments make plays. That is what it's all about. I don't care if you're playing peewee ball or if you're a Hall of Famer. That's what it's all about. And Dallas just doesn't do that. Peter starts by saying perfectly, look at that. That's the statistics. And he threw for so many yards. Who cares? Yeah, it's instantly forgettable. And I always use this phrase with the Cowboys. It's empty calories. What does that mean? Mm. So, like, in the fitness world, they talk about empty calories, where it's like you could have a donut or French fries that are loaded with calories. There is zero nutritional value. There's no vitamins. There's no protein. It's just blah. It tastes good because it's sweet, and it tastes good because it's salty. It does nothing for you. So the Cowboys have had this for years, where it's like, where is the actual value in this? You knew they were going to lose that game because you've heard this joke before. Like, the McCarthy-Dak thing is a stand-up who, like, constantly does the same routine. And it's always about, like, this wife of mine. Like, can we get a new act?
Airplane jokes?
Yeah, an airplane joke. Can you believe this food? Yeah. TSA, take me out to dinner first. It's like, yeah, I know. I laughed several times at that joke, but it always ends the same. Like, you need a new act. You need a new angle. You need a sidekick or something. It's just every time it is, they're really good and they're flashy, and they were. And it really, I just don't know how it matters. CeeDee Lamb had one of the best games you've seen in the receiver this year. We're never going to talk about it again. Dak was fantastic. We're never going to talk about it again. Don't step out of bounds. When you throw it to the tight end on fourth, break the play. Make the play. The Eagles make the play. You don't. So, what are we doing?
What I want to talk about, and shout out to Scott Van Pelt. I'm watching SportsCenter right now. He's doing the best thing he saw today. It looks like it's Embiid's 29 points in the third quarter tonight, while they beat the Wizards. And I'll get to that later on. But I want to start out like this. I played that clip for you guys because I think it's telling that, I mean, what he said was truth, right? What he said was basically like, you've seen the story before from the Cowboys. They do the same old thing, the same old Cowboys every single year. But what I want to get to is the fact that the narrative and the story today, outside of, like, you know, just mainstream Philadelphia radio, like, so, like, you know, Philadelphia sports radio, so, like, 94 and 97, and, you know, all the podcast networks and everything like that, because I listen to those folks, and the narrative today has been how the Cowboys lost, and that the Cowboys looked good in a loss, and I am willing to bet my house, car, child, whatever I gotta put up, if the roles reversed and the Eagles played yesterday and they lost to the Cowboys, even, let's just say that they were playing in Texas. Let's say they were playing in Dallas and they went into that game 7-1 and they lost to the Cowboys, who were also, like, you know, like a game behind or something, and they looked good in a close game, the narrative would not be, but the Eagles played so well in a loss, or Jalen looked so good, but they just came up short. That wouldn't be the narrative. It wouldn't be, this referee made this mistake here, and surviving the catch there, Chris Sims says this about whoever the tight end was from Dallas, he needs to survive the catch. So it should have been a catch, and it should have been a touchdown yesterday when his knee was down before the plane. But my mind is so, like, perplexed at this. Like, and I'm sorry that I keep saying but I need people to understand the Dallas Cowboys are a 5-3 team, and they were the top story. They dominated every single headline today in sports media. Every single headline in sports media. First Take, Get Up, Undisputed, all the shows, Pat McAfee probably. Like, they dominated every show today. Not that the Eagles won. who have the best record in the NFL currently. They're 8-1 and they've gone into their bye week. They have the bet, like when they come out of the bye, they will still have the best record in the league. There's no other team with just one loss. Every other team in the league has at least two losses. Not that the Eagles won the game yesterday and got to 8-1. And granted, they made some mistakes in the game. Some that I'll talk about in a little bit. But the narrative has been, oh, Dak played magnificent yesterday. Oh, 374 yards and 3 touchdowns. CeeDee Lamb with 191 receiving yards and 12 receptions and all this other stuff. You know, touchdowns or whatever it may be. And Micah Parsons looked good. And this happened and that happened. And yeah, but they lost the game. I thought the name of the game was winning. Like, sorry for saying like again. We don't, well, we shouldn't. I mean, this is a culture now where people reward mediocrity and second place finishes and third place finishes. There's, like, what I mean by that is those finishes are celebrated in the sense of someone who actually won. And they are the Dallas Cowboys. I get it. They are America's darling when it comes to, or at least when it comes to the headlines. Like, people love covering them because of the headlines. But it's frustrating because there are so many good teams in the league. Eagles aside, the Ravens are really, really good. Chiefs are good. Chiefs are tied for the second best record in the league, along with the Ravens. The Lions are good. But we're talking about a team that's just better than mediocre. The Dallas Cowboys. I mean, their record says they're 5-3. The mediocre teams in the league are 5-4. Or 4-5. Or 4-4. They're one game better than the Buffalo Bills. We ain't talking about the Buffalo Bills today and how they kept it so close with Cincinnati last night. We're not talking about Cincinnati today and how Joe Burrow has resurrected them and now they're 5-3 now. They're better than the Cowboys. We know what we're talking about? The Cowboys and how magnificent they looked in a loss. That, I'm sorry to say, pisses me off. Welcome into the Philly Sports 444 podcast. This is your host, Dom Lewis. As you can tell by my voice, that pisses me off because I say this a lot. I'm tired of the Dallas Cowboys getting so much credit for doing what they're supposed to do, like, or for just existing. They're 5-3. Okay, they'll probably win their next game because the Giants stink, right? But we can't keep rewarding them just for being the Dallas Cowboys. They're a bully. They beat up on bad teams. When they got to play, and I'm not saying that they didn't play good yesterday. They played very well yesterday. I know that. I watched the game. I listened to the game. They played very well yesterday. They still lost the game. You know what I heard today? Shout out to my line brother. They were like, my line brother Thursday was like, you know, y'all almost gave that game away. You know, that fumble almost cost y'all. And I was like, you know what? Dak almost scored a 2-point conversion that would have got the game to 3 points. And CeeDee Lamb caught that pass at the end. He almost scored a touchdown. And the narrative I heard today was like, you know, the Eagles ain't that much better than the Cowboys. Or the Eagles ain't that much better than this team or that team. Oh, So they're not that much better. But you're saying that they're better. And listen, I'm not firing no shot. Like, Thurston's my guy. Like, that's my brother. I love him. Like, I'm just using this as an example, though. I have to get my point across. So, not that much better, but we're better. Right? Like, we want to reward. We just want to reward, like, mediocrity. And I don't understand. A mediocre team. It's not even that we are rewarding mediocrity. We are rewarding this team who's mediocre, who's shown to be mediocre. Record, okay, they're 5-0 at home. Yeah, they got a perfect home record. He's got a perfect home record too, but you know, who's counting? But they're 2-3 on the road, the Dallas Cowboys. Or the, I think they're 4-0 or 5-0 at home, and I don't know what their road record. They only won 2 games on the road. They beat up on mediocre to bad teams. They're a bully. And I'm peeved because so many things I've seen today. Right before I started recording this, I saw a screenshot of a picture, and it was like, are the Eagles 8-1 for real? Well, you won your first 8 games. You beat some pretty tough teams. You've won in all kinds of manners of, you know, all kinds of ways to try to win games, you know, with the exception of one game where you just could not pull it out. You've won every other game. I'm pretty sure that 8-1 is for real. Like, we're not out here just mowing down bad teams and not beating plus 500 teams. No, we're beating division rivalries. We're beating teams in the other conference. We're beating teams at the top of this conference. Oh, well, we haven't played San Fran yet, but San Fran's 5-3. You know, people want this team to be bad. People want this team to fall. And I get that. Like, that's just how this country is. Like, you get too high up on the ladder, someone's always looking for you to fall. I get that. That doesn't surprise me. But I'm not going, I won't let it stand the praise of a mediocre team. I'm not going to let that, nah. Because we don't praise any other mediocre team in the league. We just don't do it. We don't praise mediocrity. Like that, the league does not do that. They only do it for this team. If the Eagles were 5-3, no one would care. If the Giants were 5-3, no one would care. Now, granted, people care that the Bengals are 5-3 because they started out so bad. If the Ravens were 5-3 instead of 7-2 or whatever their record is, no one would care. I think the Steelers are 5-3. No one is talking about the Steelers. No one's talking about them. They started off bad. They looked bad at the beginning. No one's talking about the Steelers being 5-3. The Dallas Cowboys are amongst the Steelers, the Cincinnati Bengals, I think the Browns. Like, they're amongst the mediocre teams in this league. They don't deserve the San Francisco 49ers. They don't deserve this praise that they're getting. I just don't understand it. And I don't even want to keep making this about them, but I got a bone to pick with the national media. I have a bone to pick with them because when are you going to stop this? And I'm glad Kyle Brandt got up there and said what he said, but no one should even be talking about them. I would have rather they talked about today, the top story been today, about the Chiefs-Dolphins game yesterday and how the Dolphins just came up short. Because that was really a good game. I watched that game. It was good. Chiefs was leading 21-0, but then the second half came. Mahomes was making mistakes. I would have rather them talk about that, go down that road. Because that would have been great analysis on, like, you know, the Chiefs and the Dolphins. Like, the Dolphins haven't beat a team above 500, but they had the tools to beat the team yesterday, but they just didn't. You know, the defense of the Kansas City Chiefs, like, pulled out another one for them. You know, offense was just sputtering and stuttering yesterday, and they couldn't get things going. and the defense touchdown ended up being the difference in the game yesterday, and Tyreek Hill fumbling to cause a defensive touchdown. Like, it's so many things that could have been talked about as a top story today with just that game, other than Dak Prescott looked great in a loss. Gotta stop praising this guy. Like, we have, like, he can be a good quarterback all y'all want him to be. He's not better than Burrow. He's not better than Allen. He's not better than Hurts. He's not better than Lamar Jackson. He's not better than Mahomes. So he's out of the top five. He's not in the top five. He's right in along the lines of Justin Herbert. Yeah, he was right in that Justin Herbert, David Carr range. Like, he's in that bucket with those guys. He's not the elite of the elite. Like, y'all want him to be elite because he's the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. The Eagles won yesterday. That's the story. That's what I'm going to talk about today. The Eagles winning a tough game against the Dallas Cowboys yesterday. A division game, a rivalry game. It was the America's Game of the Week yesterday. It's 4:25 start on Fox. And listen, I went through, me, along with every other Eagles fan, probably went through all types of emotions yesterday. Joy, pain, just, oh my God, man. It got so bad for me. When they were driving, that last Cowboys drive, when they had the ball and the penalties were getting called, and they just kept penalizing the Eagles, and I hadn't even seen that they got to the six because I left out of the house. I got so disturbed, so just pissed off. I was like, I gotta go. I took the headset out of my ear. I left my phone on the table. I went outside. And I was like, I can't just sit on the porch. I went for a walk. I was like, I gotta go for a walk. I gotta get out of here. I went for a walk. By the time I came back, the game was over. I thought my sister and my lady was like teasing me, like, guess what? They won. And I'm like, they ain't win, man. Like, y'all just, and no, I'm serious. Like, we're not gonna play around with you. They won. So I couldn't handle it. Like, it got to a point where I just could not handle that potential letdown. I just couldn't handle it. Like, you call it what you want. You say it about me. You say whatever you want to say about me. I couldn't handle that, man. Like, because I felt like they were trying to paint the picture of it was going to be this fourth quarter comeback by Dak. And, you know, they were going to give him the game. I couldn't handle that. I couldn't handle that. Because it wasn't, they were like giving it to him. They kept giving him, gave him a pass interference call. Okay, pass interference. Okay. You know, they gave him some other call. They get down to the Eagles 6. It's first and goal with the Eagles 6. Thank God they just imploded. I mean, because they really should have won the game, to be honest with you. But like, false start. Listen, Eagles was imploding down the stretch. And then what did they do? They in turn imploded themselves as well. They said, okay, hold my beer. I'm going to implode as well. Crazy, crazy ending to that game yesterday. Like, just wild. Wow, what a game, though. What a game. And I think, you know, I was, I didn't know how to handle it at first. I don't know what kind of mood I was in. I was all over the place. Like, I was all over the place. Like, you know, my emotions were all over. I was already anxious, like, before the game started, then the game started, and I was just a wreck yesterday. And the ending to that game, that just, you know, it gave all of us high blood pressure and heart palpitations and all of that stuff. Like, we were all going through it yesterday. So, I'm glad the Eagles won. For our sakes, I'm glad the Eagles won. I wouldn't have been able to deal with it, that loss, with them going through a bye week. I wouldn't have been able to deal with it. And then it would have been, you know, the Cowboys would have, the gloating would have been so much worse today, because they would have actually won the game, and they would have been praising them so much. They would have rose in the power rankings, and it would have just been a mess today. I wouldn't have been able to deal with that at all. Like, my man Clint recorded this, he uploaded this post on Instagram. He's like, F all the Cowboy fans. He was going off on this post. Like, it was like a video, like a live reaction after they won. And I can't even blame them, man, because I felt the same way. Like, yo, I'm so sick and tired of these Cowboy fans. So there's only a couple Cowboy fans I really respect. There's a few of them I respect. Like, you know, my uncle was, he's a longtime Cowboy fan, but he's the realest Cowboys fan I know. He hasn't liked Dak for years. He has not liked him. I mean, he loves his Cowboys. You know, he's going to ride or die with them. But he has not liked Dak for years. And it ain't like just this, I don't know. He has not liked that man. Like, he's a dime. I'm telling you, he just can't get it done. He told me this when the Eagles still had Carson Wentz. He was like, Dak can't get it done. I don't care what they say about him. He can't get it done. I know it. He called this years ago. So my uncle and a couple other friends, like a couple other people I know, they just love the Cowboys, and they're real fans, and I respect them. I don't respect the delusional fans. I don't respect the fans that want to blame everything and everybody for the Cowboys not meeting the standard that they think the Cowboys should meet. Because you know what the Eagles do? Eagles are accountable to themselves, and they're accountable to their fans. That's one thing I can say about the Eagles. And one thing I can say about us as Eagles fans, we're gonna hold our team accountable. Like, Eagles would have lost that game yesterday, it would have been a bunch of complaining about what the Eagles did wrong, not the referees cheating us. Now, some people probably would have complained about referees. Some people would have complained about this, that, and the fourth, whatever. I know for the most part, like, we would have complained about play calling, what Sirianni didn't do, what Brian Johnson didn't do, what Sean Desai didn't do, how Jalen gave up the game, how this missed opportunity was here, the defense did this, the defense didn't do that, we missed this, we didn't do that. We're going to hold our team accountable. Like, if it's a self-inflicted wound, we're going to get on this team. We're not going to get on the referees. No, because we expect better from this team. That's the difference between us and Cowboy fans. I ain't even analyzed the game yet. But, like, I'm just spilling out how I feel about all of this. All of this has been going on all week, all last week, up until yesterday. I'm glad for right now I can just breathe. Like, we all need this bye week. Trust me. Every Eagles fan, every Eagles player, everyone in the organization, we all need this bye week right now. We just need it. Like, enough. It's just been too much. Like, it's been a very fun ride so far, but it's been full of angst because we understand where this team is. We want the team to go, and we're not going to sleep comfortably and breathe comfortably until they get back there. I think that's the biggest thing. People don't understand that. Like, people from the outside don't understand that. I saw something, and I'll cut this segment in a little bit, but, like, I saw this clip. Or I heard this clip today. It was someone saying, we're tired of, you know, Eagle. They would have rather, oh yeah, it was on the Rich Eisen show. That's what it was. He said, I'm tired of, you know, people complaining about the Eagles, or Eagles fans complaining about the Eagles, like, oh, but they didn't do this right. They didn't do that right, but they won. And they wanted the Cowboys to win strictly because Eagles fans complain about how the Eagles win. I want this man to understand something. I forget the guy's name. I really don't even care about what his name is. But we have a standard for this team. We won't rest until they meet that standard. They have a standard for themselves. They won't rest until they meet that standard. It's that serious. This is why we complain about the Eagles, how they win. That doesn't mean we don't want them to win. And that doesn't mean we're unhappy with the win. We want the wins. We welcome them. And we're happy that the team won. But we're not going to be blinded and say that this team doesn't need to clean up stuff. They need to clean up a lot. So I'm sorry that you don't understand what Eagles fans go through in our mindset. I think the guy is like a fan of like the Browns or something. Browns are some team he's a fan of. Who cares? But there's a standard. There's a standard for this team. They know it and we know it. Even the Philly media knows it. So, like, we all know it. And we may not understand, we may not be in the building, we may not understand the intricacies, but there's a standard for this team to meet. And we just want them to meet the standard. That's it. Let's get into the game now. You know, I've spewed enough about, you know, how pissed I am with the media, and I've gone over the standard and all of that stuff, but we didn't get into the game yet. So, Eagles beat the Cowboys yesterday 28-23. What a tough game, hard-fought game. I mean, man, I think about that game yesterday, and it just was like, it felt like, someone said it earlier, and I agree with them, it felt like playoffs yesterday. And maybe it's because we put so much into that game, like, as fans, but that felt like playoffs yesterday. That felt like it just had that kind of feeling, like early playoff, you know what I mean? Like that intensity, that importance, the strain on the game. Really good game though. Overall, it was a good game. You beat them 28-23. Let's just go through a couple stats real fast. Jalen Hurts, 17 for 23, 207 yards. It doesn't sound like much, but he was very efficient yesterday. Two throwing touchdowns, that is. So, one to Devontae Smith, one to AJ. And then he also rushed for a touchdown. Rating of 130.2. Eagles actually rushed the ball. Like, they actually ran the ball, but sums up with the run game, and I'll get into that in a little bit. But Swift was 18 for 43. Jalen had 10 attempts for 36. Kenny Gainwell, 3 for 22. Rashard Penny had 2 for 8. AJ Brown, 7 for 66. So his streak is now broken with the consecutive game was 125 yards receiving. Devontae Smith, 3 for 51. Goddard, 3 for 50. He actually went out the game yesterday with a hurt forearm, and we found out later on that he broke his forearm. So he'll likely be out. Well, he'll be out at least 4 weeks, so he'll be on IR, so he'll be out at least 4 weeks. Zacchaeus was 1 for 8, Kenny Gainwell was 1 for 1, Swifty was 2 for 31. Zach Cunningham led us in tackles yesterday with 10 total tackles. Jacoby Dean also got hurt yesterday, hurt his foot, so who knows how long he'll be out. But I want to talk about the timely sacks that we had yesterday at first. So we had some sacks yesterday. That was, you know, Josh Sweat came with a timely sack in the fourth quarter. Jacoby Dean had a half a sack. That was like early on in the game. Brandon Graham had 1.5 sacks yesterday. Mr. Graham, well, thank you for coming. Thank you for showing up. Really, really appreciate you, man. Jalen Carter had a half a sack yesterday. Fletcher Cox had a half a sack yesterday. Timely sacks in the fourth quarter, especially on that last drive where they were able to sack Dak twice. That was big because they, like I told you, they was down on the six yesterday. So, that was probably the most defining moment of the game. That last Cowboys drive, and I did not want to put the game in the hands of the defense, to be honest with you. I didn't. I just felt like we'd do better if Jalen had the chance to just, you know, run the clock out. And I just was so confused with some of the play calling in that fourth quarter yesterday. I know they were trying to bleed the clock, but they just did not do a good job of bleeding it, of calling good plays in order to bleed the clock. Some shoddy play calling yesterday, and I was so annoyed by it. But they found a way. I think that's the biggest thing. They found a way. They had some key stops. They had they stopped two Cowboys drives in the red zone. Turnovers on downs. So that was probably one of the defining moments of the game yesterday. Just being able to stop that team in the red zone. And, you know, not for nothing. I mean, Dallas Cowboys got some playmakers. And there were a couple of plays where they initially called Dak getting a two-point conversion. Initially called it good and then reviewed it. Saw they stepped out of bounds. The tight end, they saw that he caught it. Like, he caught it on the line. Like, caught it right before the goal line. His knee went down right before the goal line. So, that wasn't a catch. I mean, he landed like in the end zone, but once his knee is down, you're down. So, wherever the ball is, when your knee goes down, that's where you are. I don't know what Chris Sims is talking about, but Once your knee goes down, wherever the ball is, that's where you're down. He was down before the goal line, so it wasn't a touchdown. It was a turnover on downs. Bradley's shove again worked, you know, to get him out of the end zone a little bit. But overall, like I said, they made some key stops. Like, the defense did make key stops yesterday. They're still getting, you know, torched for the most part. I mean, CD had 191 yards receiving yesterday. They were able to do what they wanted to do. And honestly, if they were smart, if the Dallas Cowboys were smarter, they would have threw CeeDee Lamb at least five more times, and they probably would have won the football game. But that's not about them. It's about the Eagles just making up. They made time to stop. A defensive line saved us yesterday. You know, linebacker play was here and there, but they made plays when they needed to make them. Because, I mean, Nicholas Morrow has stopped Dak Prescott from getting in the end zone on that one drive where he tried to dive and he flipped him over. That's going to be the picture of this podcast, the title picture of this podcast. That'll be the picture of him getting slammed on his head. But I'm laughing because there's so many different memes. There's a meme of the Undertaker throwing the tombstone. Dak Prescott. Yo, internet is crazy. But like, what I'm saying is there were some key stops yesterday from the defense. And I tell you this, I'm displeased with the secondary, particularly Bradbury and Slay. Slay is no longer big play Slay to me. He's just Slay right now. Like, until he can make a play, like a play that I feel like, or that was a big play, or that was a play that was, you know, a defining play of this game, he just gonna be Slay. He just Slay back there. And I ain't gonna disrespect him by calling him the D name, because I know you don't like that name. And you deserve to be called. If you have a name that you want to be called, you deserve to be called that name. Not gonna, I mean, unless it's some type of foolishness, and I won't get into that. But like, you know, you say, hey, address me by Slay, you know, and that's actually your name, then I'll call you Slay. You know what I mean? So, but he's not big play, and I'm not calling him big play at this moment because he's not big play. So, but I will say this, defensive line, man, like I said, they saved us so many times yesterday, and I don't know if the secondary is just playing too passive. I'm not sure what it is and how they're going to self-assess and adjust during this bye week. What I will say, though, is that through it all, and it seems to be the ongoing theme of this podcast, they just found a way to win at the end of the day. Despite mistakes, hiccups, despite any kind of calamity or despite adversity, they found a way to pull that game out yesterday. And some of that is because Dallas self-imploded. But some of that is because Eagles just made plays yesterday. I mean, they held that. Listen, they deserve credit. Dallas may have gotten 140 yards in the fourth quarter, but in the second half, they scored a total of 6 points. Eagles scored 14 points in the third quarter alone. Jalen threw 2 touchdowns in the third quarter alone. So that needs to be talked about, holding that team to 6 points in the fourth quarter. And some of that is, like I said, mismanagement on Dallas's end, but I got to give my team credit. My team made plays when they needed to make plays. And granted, I'm upset that the Eagles only had 6 yards of offense in the fourth quarter. That's bad play calling, bad execution. They almost lost a fumble in that fourth quarter. They almost fumbled that ball and gave Dallas prime real estate to even score to go ahead. But you know what? Sometimes the ball bounces your way. That ain't on the referee. Like, that's just sometimes luck is on your side in this game. Fortune or whatever you want to call it. But a win is a win is a win is a win is a win, is a win, is a win, is a win. And for all you who are counting, that's eight. Eight wins. One loss. Best record in the National Football League. I'm proud that this team handled adversity the way they did. I'm not overly ecstatic that, you know, they almost gave that game away. But the key word there is almost. They didn't give it away. They still won the game. There's a lot to clean up. There's a lot of mistakes that they made yesterday. They got to do a lot of self-assessment during this bye week. And you know what? They got some time to get healthy. They surely need this bye week. It came at the right time. Jalen got hurt yesterday at the end of the first half. I didn't even talk about that. Like, to the point, because I talked about Goddard, him being out. N'Kobe Dean got hurt yesterday. Jalen got hurt at the end of that first half. He got hit in his knee. And it was like, okay, like, what's going to happen here? And I said, I remember saying to my chat, I'm like, you know, if he's out of this game, I'm not going to watch it. I couldn't deal with that. Couldn't deal with that either. And, you know, he's a Warrior, man. He ain't going to not play unless he just can't play. So, he gutted it out. And I think that's what makes me so proud. Because it's been a while since we've had that guy. What I mean by that is it's been a while since we've had a guy of that ilk at the quarterback position on this team. Like, because Carson wasn't that guy. Carson was talented, but he wasn't that guy. And, you know, the guys before, they weren't those guys. I mean, McNabb was one of those guys. He gutsy, put on a broken ankle and all that stuff. You know, some people just ain't made like that. You know what I mean? And just a gutsy performance by Jalen Hurts. I know he was hurt. You know, he was hurt. He was hurt. And he wasn't shy. Like, I know he was masking the best way he could. But he's hurt. He's hurt. And, you know, he played gutsy, man. And now it's just time for him to get healthy. It's time for him to get healthy. You know, it's time for all of our boys to get healthy. Honestly, man, just take this week and just rest. Rest your body. Get your body right. I wish my guys didn't have to think about the game, but I know they will be thinking about how to get better, which makes me love this team even more, because they're not going to shy away from the challenge. And they know what lies ahead. They know they got Chiefs, Bills, and other teams coming up, Cowboys again, and Seattle, and the Giants, and, you know, they know they got these tough games coming up, so they're not going to shy away from the challenge. And for today, though, just take a break, because it's a well-deserved break. Guys have done a great job. Like, honestly, I didn't see them going 8-1 again, repeating going 8-1 again, you know, after going 8-1 last year. I didn't see it happening, but this team is resilient, man. This team, they know where they want to go. I just hope it really ends in the Super Bowl title. I really, really do. Like, it's going to be tough. Tougher than last year. Because, I mean, people, it's not that people don't see you coming. People know you coming. People are chasing you. And you're getting everyone's best. So, I think that's the toughest part. But they have stood right in the face of adversity. Right in the face of the challenge and have just taken it. And I got to respect that, man. That's a quality team. And I'm glad we're fans of this team. I'm glad to be a fan of this team. I really am. I've seen some good Eagles teams in my life. Been able to witness some good Eagles teams. I've been able to witness some teams that have went on some good runs. And they've, you know, made me so glad in the months of November and December. And they got into the playoffs. And, you know, failed in the playoffs. But, you know, I've seen the Super Bowl, I've seen, you know, that team, but, like, man, I would be super, I can't even put into words how I would feel if this team won the Super Bowl. Like, considering that Jalen Hurts was able to lead them to victory, I won't know how I would feel. Like, because what I mean is, like, I don't know how I would be able to put it into words, because I would be so overly elated. The only reason it wouldn't be better than the first one is because the Eagles actually won their first one, and I was able to see it and witness it. But if Jalen's able to lead them to a Super Bowl title, like, it might be the greatest sports moment, the second greatest sports moment in my lifetime. Over the Phillies winning the World Series, it might be the second greatest sports moment in my life. Witnessing that, only second to Eagles winning their first Super Bowl, because it was their first, and it was a miracle how it happened. But if they're able to just win Super Bowl with Jalen just leading them to victory, like, I'll be like, yo, they deserve every single bit. Like, I'm not saying the first team didn't, but I'm just saying, like, I'll just be happy because Jalen was the guy to do it. You know, no disrespect to anybody else, but just seeing him win it will make me, like, I don't know. Like, I'll just be like, ain't nothing else I can ask for as a sports fan, at least from the Eagles standpoint. Ain't nothing else I'd be able to ask for. So, I got off on a tangent. I'm sorry. Good win yesterday. They deserve this rest, honestly. I'm looking forward to how they come out well-rested out, because they got Monday Night Football when they come out of the bye. It's not even... They're not even playing on Sunday when they come out of the bye. They're coming right to Monday Night Football prime time. And Chiefs, you know, they can be beat. They can be beat. I mean, they're still a really good team. And Spagnuolo is going to have a game plan for Jalen. They're going to have game plan for A.J. Brown and Devontae and Swifty and all of that. Like, they're going to... It's going to be for real. It's going to be a dog fight out there. It's not going to be like a rematch of last year's Super Bowl. It's going to be it's completely, you know, new teams, different mindsets this year. I mean, still same goal, but it's going to be different. It's going to be exciting to see, though. I will tell you that. And I look forward to how the second half of this season goes. I don't want to get into a prediction of how I feel the record is going to go, but I feel like if they can get through the gauntlet, like, at 500, like 3-3 or 2-2, whatever it is, or 3-2 or whatever it is, whatever the five game, well, I think it's a five game stretch. Hold on. Let me go to the schedule. Let me see here. So, yeah, Kansas City, Buffalo. They play at Kansas City to play at home versus Buffalo, and they got San Fran, Dallas, and Seattle, right? So if they can get through that stretch, let's see. Let's say they lose to Kansas City coming out of the bye. They beat Buffalo. They beat San Fran at home. That's 2-1. It's 2-1. They go to Dallas. Let's say they lose in Dallas, but they win it at Seattle. That's 3-2, right? If they can get through that stretch 3-2, I think they'll be really, really good as far as number one seeding and the road going through Philadelphia to get to the Super Bowl, to get to Vegas, basically. So, but I don't want to look too far ahead, to be honest with you. I want to just enjoy this. And you know what? Honestly, I want to enjoy this, and I just want to take a break, like, right now. Because the season has been... It's so stressful at times, like, because we know where they want to... I keep saying that. Us as fans know where we want them to go, and they know where they want to go. So it's stressful at times because we have such high expectations, and this is not the first time I've said this on this podcast, but we have such high expectations where it's like every little thing is mattering to us. Every little nuance, every blown assignment, every blown play, it's all matters to us because we see the end. We know what the end goal is, and we were so close last year. And I'm not gonna lie, it's tough as a fan because, you know, we've been through it a little bit as Philadelphia fans. And, like, granted, I've been thankful that we've gotten to all these championship games and championship rounds, but we haven't broken through yet. Someone said to me earlier, they're like, Philly teams love getting to the championship game, love getting to the end games just to come up short. And it sucks because it's kind of like, man, that's been happening to us. But you know what? one, that's what makes us fans. Two, we can't keep having this bad calamity. Like, at one of these junctures, we got to bust through. You know, Phillies lost Game 7 of the NLCS when they lost World Series last year. Eagles lose the Super Bowl last year. Sixers lose Game 7 to Boston after being up 3-2. So, at one of these junctures, our team has to bust through. At one of these times, our team got to get through. That's how I see it. And why not be the Eagles this year? Why not be the Eagles this year? Sixers. They're 5-1 to start the season. Like I said, I was really evaluate them after like 10 or 15 games, but I will say this. They play together defense under Nick Nurse. Offense looks way more efficient under Nick Nurse. They're average, like, I think it's four players averaging 20 or more points since the beginning of this season. They played the Wizards tonight, and Joel Embiid had 29 points in the third quarter by himself. Like, the Sixers scored 45 points in that quarter. He had 29 points by himself in the third quarter. He didn't even play the fourth quarter. I'm not getting sucked in to the Sixers again. I'm not. They played Boston on Wednesday. It's a monster game. Boston lost tonight, by the way. I mean, what I saw tonight were two things. The Sixers had the throat on the necks of the Wizards, and they didn't let up. I mean, there were some times in the game where the Wizards cut the lead down. They were playing loose, hitting a couple threes or whatever. But overall, I will say that Nick Nurse coaches with a certain intensity that this team has needed for years. We thought Doc would be able to get that out of him because he was such an experienced coach. But you know what? I was talking to someone earlier, and Nick Nurse might be able to get the best out of Joel Embiid. You know, I don't know how much longer Joel Embiid's prime will be. Maybe it'll be 2 years. Maybe it'll be a year and a half. Maybe it'll be 4 years. But there's a possibility that Nick Nurse might be able to get the best out of Joel Embiid. And early on this season, looks like he is. You know, last year was the MVP and all of that stuff. You know, he put up monster numbers. And he just went on a stretch last year. Because, I mean, he really won the MVP during that one stretch he went through, where he was just a guaranteed, like, 30 points, you know, like, for, like, 30, 40 games. It was just ridiculous. But he might be the most efficient, and he might get his best playmaking ability under Nick Nurse. So, I say all that to say, I got my eye on the Sixers. I'm not sucked in yet. Pause. I'm not, like, you know, being suckered in. They play Boston on Wednesday. I'm going to watch that game. I'm going to watch it or listen to it, however I got to do it. But I like to see how they measure up against Boston. I saw what they did against Milwaukee. Milwaukee is, okay, they're 4-2 right now. So, they had a couple bad games. But, I mean, overall, they're 4-2. So, you know, they look okay. And Boston looks great. And Sixers look good. So, we're going to see how they measure up against... I mean, listen. It's just game seven for both of the teams. Like, they're going to play Wednesday. It's going to be the seventh game of the season. I'm not saying this is indicative on how it's going to look in April and May and June. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is I just need to see how they measure up against a really good team. I mean, because they're going to play... After they play Boston, I think they play the Pacers twice, and then they play Detroit, and then I think they play Boston again. So, we're going to see how it goes. I mean, they might just split with Boston, like, in those first two games. You know, I think they played both of the games at home. So, I just want to say, I see you, Sixers. I'm looking. Like, I'm not saying I got my eye on you and I'm completely all in. I'm not. And I don't know if I'll ever be all in on the Sixers again. But let's just see how things go Wednesday. And right now, I'm just going to try to enjoy the product. You know what I mean? I don't want to get my hopes up anymore with this team. I've had my heart broken by them too many times. Really too many. Honestly, out of all the teams that play in Philadelphia, the Sixers have broken my heart way more than anyone else. Not even the Eagles have broken my heart as much as the Sixers have. Like, and I've experienced some bad Eagles losses. But the Sixers have broken my heart. Ever since I was a teenager, they've been breaking my heart. So, I can't help but to love the team. But I'm not going to go all in on these guys right now. Just enjoy the product that's out there. I want to see them, how they measure up. I feel like Nick Nurse is a really, really good coach. And like I said, I feel like he's the coach that we probably, his style of coaching, his intensity to coaching, we probably needed that all along. We probably needed that years ago. Who knows? If we would have had him as the coach last year, who knows what would have happened in that Boston series? It's going to make that, I might be thinking about that a couple of weeks down the line, like when it gets into like December and January, you know, when it's well into the Sixer season. I might really start thinking about that. Like, what if we would have had him last year with Harden and Embiid? You know, what would have happened? So yeah, man. I got my eye on them. I'm looking at them from afar. I'm not all up close looking at them right now, but I see you a little bit. I see what you're doing from afar. It looks good so far. Keep working. I ain't even gonna be mad if they lose on Wednesday. I just want to see how they look. It's just scouting for me at this point right now. I don't care about, you know, I'm not stack wins you need to stack right now. And you know, in the middle of the season, like, you know, before All-Star break, we'll see where you are and all that stuff. I just want to enjoy the product right now. That's really what it comes down to. But they look good tonight. And they look so good that we even talked about them in the group chat. Like, we never talk about the Sixers in the group chat unless they're losing, unless they're doing something to piss us off. But they look good. They look good under the nurse. They do. So we got our eye on you guys from, I got my eye on you guys from afar. We'll see what happens though. I don't have any Phillies things besides Zach Wheeler getting the Golden Glove. So shout out to Zach Wheeler. Man, Wheels, man. he's really been our ace, and I thankful that we got him. So Wheeler's got a Golden Glove. I don't have any. I don't have any Flyers news. I don't really know what's going on with the Flyers at the moment. Did they win yesterday? I can't remember if they won. I think they lost their last game. I don't know. I don't have any news on the Flyers. Yes, I'm going to take this week as an Eagles fan to just kind of chill. Like, I don't have to worry about the Eagles winning or getting up for an Eagles game this week. Like, I can just enjoy the league at large. You know what I mean? Just enjoy the league. So I'm going to do just that. Shout out to the Eagles. 8-1, best record in the league. Shout out to the Sixers. 5-1, best record in the Eastern Conference right now. Tied with the Boston Celtics. I mean, they're both 5-1. So, you know, both of the Philly teams, the Eagles and the Sixers, only got one loss. So shout out to that. That's pretty cool. I don't have anything else besides that, guys. I just appreciate you guys for tuning in, the guys and gals. I appreciate the support. I appreciate the love. Please, if you listen, just share it. Even if you don't listen, find it in your heart to share it. Please, please, please. I appreciate it. Appreciate the love. Appreciate everyone who supported me on Philly Sports Cali Green hoodies. They will be coming sooner than later. Probably going to place an order for the shirts this week and then get the shirts made sometime soon. Like I said, I want to get them done before the Buffalo game. So I'm working on that actively. But if you want a shirt, you better hurry up and get with me soon, because I'm going to place an order for these shirts. And that'll be that. All right. I love you guys. I appreciate you guys. That's all I got, man. That's all I got. I'm relieved that the Eagles-Cowboys game is over with. I want to see how the Sixers look on Wednesday. And yeah, I'm just going to take this week as far as football and to just kind of chill and not have to worry about anything. All right? I hope you guys do the same. Enjoy the bye week. You know, gear up for the second half of the season. Let's see how it goes. All right? That's it. That's all. That's all I got. This is Dom Lewis signing off from the Philly Sports 444 Podcast. Until next time, peace.